On the top of Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, you'll see the first three words on the Amud are Degorim Bracha Liatzmo. The Gemara explains why Hamotzi at the beginning of the Suda would not patter up a bracha for Yayin. Yayin is special. Rashi says Gorim Bracha Liatzmo, that in many occasions we make a bracha on Yayin as part of a mitzvah, like for example Kiddush, Havdalah, and Berkas Chasanim. Other Rishonim interpret it differently. Rabbi Yonah, for example, says that we're talking about a special status of Yain that patters up other mashkim. The Rashbam explains the special status of Yain that it was nishtana li'ilui, and therefore it should have been in Bari Priya Eitz, but we mentioned a separate bracha, which Chazal were koveh because of its chashivus. It went from an inferior to a superior state. The Arzurua interprets that we recite the bracha of Hatova Meitiv when we break out better Yayin. The Ritva says that it's different from the rest of the Suda because Yayin comes L'Shasiya and the rest of the Suda is for Achila. Many different interpretations of Gorem Bracha Liatzmo. Today we're going to begin with the Gemara of Rav Huna, and this is a hemshech of what we saw back on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis in the case of Pasa Bob Kismin, which requires a bracha lefaneha but does not require bracha lachreha. We had a machlokus, if you remember, between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi understood that it didn't require a bracha lachreha even if you eat it after Birkas HaMazon. And Tosfos, on the other hand, understood that we're talking about Pasa Bob Kismin that was eaten within the Suda, and it is therefore under this category of petura bracha le'achreha, but it needs a bracha lefaneha. The Gemara now brings a story about kama different ofanim, different cases of a chiyuv bracha gam le'achreha. Rav Huna ochal tleisa rifti, he ate 13 kikros of pas, haba b'kisnin, b'nei tlosa tlosa b'kaba. With these kikros, all three of them were a shiurim together of a kav echad. Velo barich, and Rav Huna did not make a bracha achrona after this achila. So again, even though he ate 13 kikros of pasaba b'kisnin, that's a massive amount, and each one of them, of these kikros, if you put three of them together, you'll have a shiur of a kav. So this is, a great massive amount. The Rabbi Yonah has a slightly different girsa in this Gemara. His girsa is Tresa Rifti, which means he had 12 kikros. The shear of three of them was a kav echad, in which case Rav Huna ate 4 kavim all told. And the Gemara says lo baruch, he did not make a bracha achrona after his achila. That's how Rashi interprets this Gemara. There are other interpretations in the name of Rav Haigon that Rav Huna lo birech bracha achrona achrei achiloso, which according to the Rav Haigon seems to indicate that even though the Chacham were machmir and they required Birkas HaMazon on an achilas pas of a shir of kezayis or kebetza, even if that achil does not have kedei sviya, but in this case of a pas above a kiss, they weren't machmir and they left the din Kiddin Torah, and only if he is Savea is he chayv in a bracha. Amalei Rav Nachman, Adi Kafna, these kikros that were eaten because he was so hungry, that's not the normal way you eat pasa baba kisnin, where you only eat a small amount. Now you ate an achila meruba. And if this be the case, your achila is called a nachila shem suda, and it generates a bracha. In other words, even if you weren't completely satisfied by this achila, it doesn't matter. El kol shacherim kovel asud tzarch levarich. In other words, you need Birkas HaMazon because other people would certainly, if you have a kav echad of a shir, which is a massive volume, that would be kedei sviya, then other people would be koveh sud on that amount, despite the fact that it's a pas haba b'kisnin. And the Rosh says that if you eat a shir katan, which other people would normally not be sufficient to be koveh suda, then he would not be mevarech Birkas HaMazon. Even if his das was l'shem kviya suda, we would apply the principle of bot l'daito etzel kol adam. Whereas the Ravid says it all depends upon his das. If he wants to be koveya suda, then he has to make a birkas hamotzi and a birkas hamazon, even if other people would not normally in that small shir be koveya suda. Now the klal of bot l'daito etzel kol adam, which appears in many different sugyas in Shas, that a person does something which for others would not be choshev, but it's koveya, his das is to make it into choshev, but nevertheless, his das is not enough. We need the das of other anoshim. It has to be some sort of objective, otherwise bot l'daito etzel kol adam. We had this principle here in Perek Ketz of Mevarchim back on Lamed Hey with regard to Yayin, that Yayin is soides alev, but nevertheless we don't make a bracha of Birkas HaMazon because most people don't drink Yayin to be masbia, to be soides alev. Ein regilus lishtos Yayin l'shem kviya suda, and therefore if a person drinks wine for the purpose of kviya suda, he's not chayv Birkas HaMazon because of butler daito etzel kol adam. That's what we learned above. Now let's add something here from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rav Huna did not make a bracha. He didn't make a Birkas HaMazon, and he didn't make even a different bracha. Like for example, you might think he would make a bracha main shalosh because he's eating mizonos. And you might ask, maybe he should make a bar nefashos as well. According to some, the Shilta Begorim and others, Rav Huna in fact did make a bar nefashos, and this reflects something that we saw in Rashi back on Daf Lamed Zayin. The Rambam, the Rashba, and many others, and this pretty much is codified in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Samaches, hold that Rav Huna did not recite a Birkas HaMazon, but he did recite a Bracha Main Sholosh, because Achilus Pasak Kisnin, even without Kviya Suda, although it's not Machayev Birkas HaMazon, but it is Machayev Birkas Me'ein Sheva, Me'ein Sholosh, which means Ala Michya. This also appears in Tosus Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, who adds that it shouldn't be worse, pasapod kisun, from chamesh saminim that were cooked together in a pot, or one of them was cooked in a pot. And the Gemara says back on Lamed Zayin that you make a bracha main shalosh. Now keep in mind that Rav Huna came from the Beis HaNesiim. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel after Shmuel. He was a great Marbitz Torah. The Gemara says about him in Ksubas that when the Rabboseinu would say goodbye to him from they left the base of Huna, they would still try to stay with him as long as they could. And it turns out that there are a massive amount of Talmid, the Gemara talks about 800 of the Bnei Yeshiva, and he would darshan through 13 different Amoraim that would be the loudspeakers for him. He had tremendous amount of Talmid, and this was the great Rav Huna. And yet, Rav Nachman says to him, Adi Kafna, which means these kikros, that you ate so much of them, and other people would certainly be koveh suda, the yachila of this pasabah bekistin requires birchas adam, because batla daito etzel kol adam. So you see that Rav Nachman took Rav Huna to task, so to speak. Now, the Lashon HaGemara Adi Kafna, which Rashi, and we said before, it means that these kikros had a tremendous amount of volume to it, and it's a shir of achila that is eaten machmas ra'av, you know, for ra'av is a person who is very hungry, and therefore it might be enough for, theoretically, a kviya suda. And therefore, Acherim Kovim Alav Asasuda, even though you yourself, Rav Huna, were not Kovei Asuda. So this is called an Achila Shel Ra'av, and that generates a Chiyuv, according to Rav Nachman, of Birkas HaMazon. The Meiri and others have the different take. They think Achila Shel Ra'av is a phrase that refers to Achila She'eda Maspika. Not that it takes away your hunger pains, but it's not enough. It's called an Achila Shel Ra'av. And therefore, if Nachman was asking Bider Tmiya, is this Achila and Achila Shal Ra'av, which is not enough to be Koveya Suda, why didn't you make a bracha afterwards? Certainly, it was enough to be Koveya Suda for everybody else. The Ra'ah has a pshat that he mentioned Bider Chamir, he said, Lo birach de birkas a Muslim, they shatah dayin roev. You didn't make a bracha because you were still hungry. But in any event, we come up with Rav Nachman's principle. He formulates his Kol Shachirim Kovim Olav Suda Tzarch Levarech, and that's against Rav Huna. And that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara, and that's what many, many Rishonim understood. However, the Rashba says that these words are the words of Rav Huna, and he himself, Rav Huna, was Chozer Bo. He rescinded his original position. And therefore, he accepted Rav Nachman's principle, halacha. However, most Rishonim understood, according to our Girsa, that these were the words of Rav Nachman. Rav Huna never rescinded his original position. There's a Tosus elsewhere that claims that if an Amora is Shosek, and we don't find in the Gemara any response, it means that he was Choser, but he's Moda. So the different klolim here as to whether or not we should assume Rav Huna accepted Rav Nachman, or he did not. And a whole bunch of Rishonim hold that Rav Huna never accepted Rav Nachman, and they really paskined against Rav Nachman, and you can really check this out here. There's a long discussion about this in the Yalkut HaBiurim. In any event, the Gemara said before that with regard to a Brocha Achrona, in a case of Pasa Ba B'Kisnin, then we need a bracha achrona. The question is, which bracha achrona? And furthermore, the Gemara wants to clarify, what is the bracha rishona that we should recite on Pasa Ba B'Kisnin? Is Rabbi Yehuda havi osik le libre? Rabbi Yehuda was meshadech his son, bei Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, with the daughter of Yehuda bar Chaviva. And this is something that we saw earlier about this wedding, this very special wedding. And Rav Yehuda here is the father of the Chassan. And Rav Yehuda, that's Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda bar Chaviv is the father of the Kala. And this is l'chora a contradiction to what we call Tzavos Rav Yehuda Chassid, that two Bnei Adam that have the same name should not be Meshadech their children one to the other. And that's an interesting question here about this Gemara. However, there are different sfeikas about this horah of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, when it applies, when it doesn't apply, and have we accepted it. Also keep in mind that some have a girsa that Rabbi Yehuda Chaviva was his name, not Bar Chaviva, and that would change the name Rabbi Yehuda. In any event, going on, Aisu Lekamayu, they brought in front of the guests Pasa Ba B'Kisnin, and Ki Asa Shaminu, when Rabbi Yehuda came in, he heard the Kamavarchi Hamotzi, that they were reciting Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz on a Pasa Ba B'Kisnin, and Ligleg, and he starts making fun of them, and he says, Amar Lahu, he says to them, My Tzitzi de Kashmana. What is this tzitzis, the tzitzi, that I hear a motzi, you know, in your bracha, that you keep, each one of you is making a motzi. Dilma, is it possible, hamotzi lech minoretz ka mevarch isu? Am I hearing right? That you are mevarch hamotzi lech minoretz on a pasa ba bekisnin? Later on, we're going to learn in the Gemara on Amud Beis that if a chabura decided to eat together in a certain place, then one person makes the bracha for others. But that only applies in achilas lechem, but not in achilas other foodstuffs. So Rabbi Yehuda really is making fun of them. But it seems that each one was mevarech liatzmo, and in a sense that is a self-contradiction, because if they held that on a pasah bava kis, in this case you make a hamotzi, then one person should have recited the bracha on behalf of the others. And that's called a chabura, shezminu es atzmo lechol biyachad, in a certain makom. So it seems that the fact that he heard tzitzi tzitzi means he heard many people making this brach of amotzi, that this achilu is not considered an achila kvua, even though they made hamotzi. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was trying to indicate to them when he said my tzitzi, that on the one hand I hear everybody making their own amotzi, which means that it doesn't have the din of kviya sudan apas, and because otherwise one person would be mvarch lekulam. And if on the other hand the din is not like a pas, then why are you making a hamotzi? You should have been making a bariminim mizonos. Now the guests themselves thought that the din of pas above a kisnin is very similar to a regular pas, and it's brachu b'amotzi lechem aretz. So certainly they washed their hands before they recited Berachas Hamotzi, and the Tzlach asks if that be the case, why was Rabbi Yehuda so surprised when he heard the Hamotzi? He should have asked, why are you washing your hands? And the Tzlach says that Rabbi Yehuda wasn't there at the time that they washed their hands. Ki asa, the Gemara says, sham inu de kamavarche. He came after the Netil Siddayim and he heard that bracha. Amri Lei, the response of the Orchim was the following, in, yes, we are making Hamotzi Lechem Aretz on a pas above a kisnin, the Sanya, because we rely on a Braisa. The Braisa tells us, Rebbe Muna, or Rebbe Mona, Omar Mishum Rebbe Yehuda, he said in the name of Rebbe Yehuda, that pas above a kisnin, v'varchan alea, Hamotzi Lechem Aretz. And that means, even if we weren't Kovei Suda, but we, apparently based on this Braisa, we have an absolute rule, unconditional, that the brachan pas above a kisnin should be Hamotzi. V'yomar Shmuel, furthermore we heard from Shmuel that halachic Rabbi Mona, that the halach is like Rabbi Mona in this price, and therefore we made a Berachas Hamotzi, basically reflecting the Shita Rabbi Mona. Amar Lahus, Rabbi Yehuda responds, ain't halachic Rabbi Mona itmar? In other words, when Rabbi Yehuda said that some comment about the halach and Rabbi Mona, he didn't say halachic Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Mona, he said ain't halachic Rabbi Mona. The exact opposite of what you think you heard in his name. Now it's a little bit complicated here that there are two testimonies that contradict each other as to what Shmuel said. The Mavarchim, the people, the Orchim, they said that Shmuel said Allah Krabi Mona. Rabbi Yehuda says that I testify that Shmuel said Ein Allah Krabi Mona. But it seems from the rest of the Gemara as we go on that they didn't hear this in the name of Shmuel, who said Allah Rabbi Mona, they heard in the name of Shmuel that there's a din of Lachmanios, another din, which we'll get to a little bit later. They thought that it was Shmuel who said that din. So the Gemara says, Amri Lei, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, how could you say such a thing that Shmuel Paskins ain't Halach Rabbi Mona? V'amar hu di omer mishmei de Shmuel. You yourself, they speak to him in third person, Mar, meaning you, Rabbi Yehuda, you yourself said, in the name of Shmuel, the Lachmanios, Me'arvin Bahem, Uvarchan Aleim Hamotzi. So we'll talk a little bit about Lachmanios and the law of Erevin, but the bottom line is that from this statement that you yourself made, Rabbi Yehuda, it seems that you would have also recited a hamotzi and washed before pas above a kisnin, because lachmanios is like a pas above a kisnin. It's a kind of baked loaf of some sort, and the Aruch says that Lachmanios is something called Oibliash. Okay, we have to know what Oibliash is. That's a real strong word in Hilchas Brachos and in Perek Ketzam Avarchim. I gave a whole Shir Iyun here on Obliosh. Maybe we'll put it online. Anyway, it's a min mafet, something that's baked through a belila ova, which means that the dough is very, very thick. And therefore, you get the impression that Obliash is a pas gomur. It's not a pas above a kisnin. So these lachmanios, according to that opinion, could not possibly be Obliash, because the Gemara here is assuming that we can equate these lachmanios with pas above a kisnin. And now you're telling me that that Lachmanios means oblios, but rather Lachmanios must mean something called nilish. Nilish are rekikim dakim, very thin strips of dough that are made with belila raka, and they're baked from a porous dough, a pouring dough, a liquid dough. And a lot of this you'll see here in Tosis Divrei Maskil Lachmanios. It's a short Tosis, but we should, if we have time, we'll try to go through it. In any event, the status of Lachmanios, we'll call it Nilish, is these things that are created from a blila raka, a soft dough, a porous dough, and therefore its din would be not a din of hamotzi. You wouldn't make hamotzi on nilish. It would have a din, something like maybe daisa, which is a kind of cereal that it always gets a mizonos, even if you were koveya suda. So if you eat farina or the like, you would make mizonos. And yet, to our surprise, you were the one, Rabbi Yehuda, who told us in the name of Shmuel that we should be making a hamotzi lechem in Aretz, which means that if Lachmanios are like a pasa b'kisnin, then the bracha according to Shmuel on pasa b'kisnin would be hamotzi lechem in Aretz. And now Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to differentiate between pasa b'kisnin and Lachmanios, or at least different cases of pasa b'kisnin. You know, in some cases, maybe you would make a hamotzi, in some cases, you would not make hamotzi. And then we have a din of Erev Chatzeros, which we discussed earlier, that means a chatzah that has partners. Many people go out into this chatzah, they own partnership in the chatzah, and if it has mechitzos, then according to the din Torah, it's a Rishus HaYochid, then you'd be allowed to take anything, any object, and carry it mimakum lamakum within the chatzah. But Shlomo Melech made a takana that since there are many dayorim, many people who live in that area and use the chatzer, then you're not allowed to be metaltil from the chatzer to the bayis and vice versa, or from one house to another house, until he makes an erev of all the shechinah together, so the noble will be matir, you know, carrying from an ear to a sod or something like that, which would might lead him to be motzi mi rishus hayoch rishus yom. And this erev, which is called an erev chatzeros, is made through Hanochas Pas, which is the Pas is left in one of the batim of this chatzer for, on behalf of all the shechinim, all the partners in that chatzer. Now, we don't make an Erev Chatzeres from other macholim except for Pas. And yet, these Lachmanios have a status of Pas, even though, and the Gemara thinks right now, it's a classic Pasa Bobekisnin. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda's answer was Shiny Hossam. The din of Lachmanios is different because it's talking about a case to cover Suda Sayu Alayu. And if you cover Suda on Pasa Babakisan, then the bracha is Hamotzi. Now, exactly how that impacts on Eruv is something that we have to think about. But anyway, Aval Hech Delo Kova Suda Sayu Alayu, in a case where he wasn't cover Suda, he ate a small amount of achilas pas above a kisnin, lo, we do not make a bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz. We'd rather make a bracha of borei mine mizonos. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's critique was that since each of you divided up and made your own bracha, then it shouldn't have been a bracha of hamotzi. You aren't being koveh suda on this pas above a kisnin, and therefore you should have been making a borei mine mizonos. That was the critique of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Gemara interprets Rabbi Mona, because Rabbi Mona said that Pasav Abakisin, you make a motzi, as a case where he was not Koveh Suda. But Lechora, it's possible to say that Rabbi Mona is talking about a case, and the reason why he says Hamotzi on Pasav is because he was Koveh Suda Leah. But the Gemara somehow wasn't comfortable setting up this ukimta that Rabbi Mona is talking dafka about a pace where he was koveya suda. And therefore, the Orchim, in order to counter Rabbi Yehuda's critique, they said that we heard from Shmuel Halachas like Rabbi Mona, even in a case where he's not koveya suda. Nevertheless, Rabbi Mona says in the Braisa that Pasabova kisav achaleim hamotzi. So that was the defense argument of Rabbi Yehuda. of the Orchim. And Rabbi Yehuda counted by saying no. Shmuel said that we don't paskin like Rabbi Mona, meaning that Shmuel would only accept Hamotzi in a case of Koveya Suda on Pasabo Bekisnin, but not on a regular Pasabo Bekisnin. And therefore, if you heard from me that on Lachmanios we should make a Hamotzi, and I said that in the name of Shmuel, that's talking about a case where he was Koveya Suda, and that's when Shmuel accepts the Bracha of Hamotzi on Pasabo Bekisnin. But Shmuel never accepted Rabbi Mona to say that every case of Pasabo Bekisnin, even without Koveya Suda, would require a Birchas Hamotzi. Now there's a Rashi back on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, which indicates that in these cases of Lachmaniot, they were regilim to be Koveya Suda only in a case where they ate a massive amount. Normally they would eat a machola mu'etes, they would only eat a small amount because they ate it l'shem tainug. It wasn't there for the purpose of setting up a suda and filling up your belly. Lachmaniot, on the other hand, they were a gilim, they would normally be koveh suda on this ragliot. And therefore, Rabbi Mona, in the Braisa, held that the din of Pasav Abekisnin is a case where he wasn't koveh suda. And Rabbi Yehuda, talking about Lachmanios, he's talking about a normal case where they were koveh suda on Lachmanios. Now the Gemara is going to tell us about the Siyum HaSu'uda. In other words, are you allowed to continue eating after a point in which you were Mesayim Yosu'uda? It's after Birkas HaMazon. That's how Rashi learns it, Dira Maskel Osir. We'll see that soon. Now, in terms of Tosvis, we looked at Lachmaniot, and Rashi says Lachmaniot are obliish, and Tosvis says that he cannot accept that, and therefore he interprets as nilish, because obliish, he claims, is hamotzi, it's lechem gomur, and it is an isa, it's a blilasa ova, but nilish is something that's called blilasa raka. And again, even in the case of Nilish, Tosa says you could be Koveya Suda, and therefore you'd make a Hamotzi, even though it's Blilasa Raka. I'm not sure about Daisa. We said that Daisa, in any event, even if you eat it as a meal, you would only make a Bar Minyan Mezonos. So I'm not sure why Tosa's Nilish is better, so to speak, than Daiso, where Nilish you would be Mevarech Hamotzi if you were Koveya Suda. That's not the case in Daiso. Now Tosis adds a few words, Kemo Purim, which is really interesting because it sounds like Tosis is saying that in case of Purim, if you eat at the Suda's Purim a kind of Nilish mixture, which is made of Blila Raka, you would automatically make Hamotzi. Maybe he means, and this is very Lumdish, that the Chovas Su'uda, in the case of Suda's Purim itself, generates a Kviya Suda. But then I would wonder why Tosis mentions Purim and not Shabbos or Yontif. Maybe because on Shabbos and Yontif we have a din of Lechem Mishnah, and therefore he would not be Koveya Suda on Nilish, but Purim doesn't have a special halach of Lechem Mishnah. At the end of Tosis, Miu Rabbeinu Shimshon Pirish Di Ein Levarchal of Hamotzi Dehavi Kamo Daisa. Oh, I was very happy about this. I came up with this idea of my own that Nilish should have the same status as Daisa. We don't make a Hamotzi on Daisa even if he was Koveya Suda. So now the Gemara speaks about Siyum Suda. Rav Papa Ikla Lebei Rav Huna Berei de Rav Nosson. And again, there's a long discussion here about who Rav Huna Bar Nosson was. Apparently he was the Rosh HaGola in the time of Rav Ashi. And if you look in Igros Rav Shriragon, he tells you that he was Zochet to Torah and Gedula B'makom Echad. But Rav Ashi was greater than him. And this was already a little bit of a Yerida Sadoros. And we find that Rav Huna Bar Nosson was kafuf to Rav Ashi, but nevertheless, Many times in Shas, Rav Ashi will bring a halach in the name of Rav Huna Bar Nosson, even though again Rav Huna Bar Nosson was more of a Talmud than of Rav Ashi, than a chaver of Rav Ashi. So now Rav Papa is invited to the house of Rav Huna Bar Nosson, and Rav Papa sits down to eat. Basa de Gamri Suda Saihu. They finish the Suda, and Aisa Lekamayim Midei Lemecha. They bring more food to eat. Baruch Hashem. His Shkal Rav Papa Vika Achil, and Rav Papa took it and started eating it. Amri Lei. So they immediately asked Rav Papa Lo Sava Lamar, Gomar Osumi Lechol. After you finish your Suda, you're not allowed to continue your Achila until you make Birkas Amazon, and then you recite a bracha rishona on what you want to eat after the Gemara Suda. And the Gemara Suda itself is generated, as we mentioned earlier, with Hesech Hadas. In other words, he decided that he finished his Suda, and the bracha rishona ends, so to speak, and now he needs to be mevarach. He's not allowed to continue eating until he benches. Again, if he wants to bench and then continue eating, that's fine. He'll need a new bracha rishona and then a new bracha achrona, but how is it that Rav Papa grabbed on to this extra food before they benched? That you're not allowed to do. Once it's Hesech Hadas, you must bench. This has to do also with, by the way, my Machronin. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahu, the response of Rav Papa was the following. Silek Itmar. To me, the concept of Gemara Suda, which generates an Isra Achila before you bench, is only in a case of Silek. And that's called Silek HaShulchan. And we've mentioned in the past that that's really a big sugya in the last parak of Psachim, Ari Psachim. In those days that each person had his own Shulchan, the Sir Masuda was not some sort of mental decision that, oh, we finished or we were satiated, but rather it would require siluk. Now, I'm not sure exactly what Rashi means here, b'divra maschil silek or siluk. Rashi says, im silek ha-lechem v'chol ha-ochel me'al ha-shulchan v'adayin lo birchu asu lechol. So it means he clears off the lechem and all the other food from the table. He cleared off the table. We usually interpret, take a look at the Rashbam and Arvi Psochem, that Siluk HaShulchan means they actually remove the Shulchan. In any event, whatever it means, Silek Itmar, and Rav Papa is justifying his action that he kept eating, even if it was Sofa Suda, because Hesech Hadas is not the issue here. That doesn't have the power to end the Suda. What we need is Siluk, HaLechem V'Chol HaOchel V'Yashulchan, the way Rashi interprets it. And therefore, even though I finished eating, I'm allowed to continue my eating because it was before the Siluk, HaLechem V'Ochel V'Yashulchan. Now the Gemara adds another story. Rav of Rav Zera Iklu Lebei Reish Galusa. So Rav and Rav Zera now were invited to the house of the Reish Galusa. And Labasa de Silku, after they removed Taka, which means the Shulchan, Mikamai from in front of them, Shadaru Lahu Ristina, they sent them some sort of extra portion of meat, a mana basar, which is called Ristina, Mibei Reish Galusa, from the house of the Reish Galusa. Rava Achil, Rav Zera Lo Achil. Rava ate it because he felt. So let's again talk about this case where Rava ate when they sent the basar from the Bei Reish Galusa, from the bias of the Reish Galusa, and Rava had no hesitation in eating. Amalei, so Rav Zera looks at Rava, he says to him, how can you eat? It was already after Siluk HaShulchan, Lo Savolei Mar, don't you know that Silek Osumi Lechol? And everyone agrees in Silek, you can talk about Hesek Hadas, but certainly Silek HaShulchan is the Sofa Siyam HaSuda. Amalei. So Rava says, I don't disagree with this did. I also agree that you're not allowed to continue eating after Sukkah Shulchan. But this Suda that we're eating in is a different, unique Suda. And even after Sukkah Shulchan, it's not called Sidama Suda. Why? Because Anana Taka Deresh Kalusa Samchinan. We're being fed by, or off the table, so to speak, of the Rosh HaGola. And we don't have Hesech Hadas in the Suda. We are totally dependent upon the Rosh Galusa. He's going to determine what we eat and when we eat, when we finish our eating. If he's still sending us additional manos, then we're going to eat from them. Now, if you take a look at Tosas Dira Maskel Silek, he asks Akash on our minog, we're very makbid not to be misalik the pas before the bracha. And Lechora, this is not a minog which reflects our sugi, because from our sugi it would seem that their derech, their style was to be misalik the shulchan before the bracha. And here our minog is just the opposite. If I care, we dafka leave the pas on the shulchan. Tosas answers that in those days the shulchan was in front of each one of the Mesubin. They had his own personal Suda, so they would be Mesalik, the Suda before all the Mesubin, and they only left one Shulchan for the Mavarech. But today, that we all participate in one Shulchan, therefore we leave the bread on the table, so when we make the Bracha, the bread is still on the table. Now we mentioned that there was a Mana that was sent by the base Reish Galusa, in other words, from that same place that they were eating, you know, like the same kitchen. And therefore you could wonder whether or not there was a Siyama Suda. If they were the food was sent from a different place, Mimokam Acher, and then they didn't have Das, that there would be food sent from another Mak, then maybe they would have considered the Sofa Suda even before that other Mana came. Hoyalem Levarech Al osa mana afilu b'odem b'tocha suda. The reason why they didn't make a bracha on that which was sent to them was because it came from the same kitchen, so to speak, the same makom where they were eating. Now Rashi tells us, Dibra Maschil Asur, which is a little bit earlier, that after Hesech Hadas, you have to make a bracha rishona, mi bracha rishona, umi suda, then you need a levarech tchila berkas hamazon, and then afterwards you can continue eating. So that's a case of hesech hadas, and we added the condition of siluk hashulchan. So if after siluk hashulchan they want to go back and eat, they would have to make a bracha rishona. First they should make a bracha of berkas hamazon on the suda when they finish the suda, and only then should they be eating with a bracha rishona on that which we want to eat after the suda. But Rava pointed out that this was a unique exception to the rule. They were guests, and even if they thought the suda was over, it's very possible that the suda would continue. And that's because the host would send them more food. And perhaps this is a kind of a unique setup in the case of Rosh Galusa, but I would think, if you take a look at Tosfos Dibur HaTacha, the second one, then you get the impression that this would be the din in general. When anyone is a guest in someone's house, the Sofa Suda depends upon the host. Amar Rav, Haragil B'Shemen, if somebody usually washes his hands, it's kind of like a hands cleanser. Here they give out these little, these little packages of like, what are they called? Those packages they give you in the restaurants at the end of your meal to wipe your hands. You know what I mean, like a wipes kind of thing. Anyway, so they had a regulus that they would dip their hands in shemen at the end of the meal. Is then shemen ma'akvo. It means that's considered gmar suuda after they dip their hands. But let's say, for example, they would remove all the food, but they haven't yet done meshicha b'shemen, then the suda is continuing. And therefore, you get allowed to eat without a bracha. Omer Rav Ashi, ki avina be Rav Kahana, when I was in the house of Rav Kahana, Omer Lani told us, kigon anan diregilinon b'mishcha. We have this minog of being moshech smearing oil on our hands, dipping our hands into oil at the end of the Suda is Mishra Ma'akvalon. The end of the Suda depends upon Mashichas HaShemen. However, the Gemara concludes, Les Hilchasa Kechol HaNishmaitita. We don't paskin like all these cases that we saw with regard to the definition of Siyum Sa'uda. In other words, Siyum Sa'uda is not dependent upon Gemar Suda. It's not dependent upon what we call Siluk HaMacholim or Mashichas HaYad B'Shemen, Ela, but rather Kihol, like the case of Rabbi Chia Bar Rav Ashi in the name of Rav. That din was said in the name of Rav, that Sholoch Tchifos Hain. In other words, in three different contexts, the halacha is that you have to do a Maisa Tekef, in other words, without a Hefsek, from a different Maisa. For example, Tekef L'smicha Shchita, in other words, we have to shech the kavod immediately after the smicha. We don't delay it, and we don't do anything in any pa'ula in between. Tekef l'gula tefila, with somek gula tefila means immediately after Birchas Gal Yisrael, he has to recite tefila. And tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha, that there's an obligation immediately after netilas yadayim, which we call mayim achronim, to be mevarech Birchas HaMazon. And we're not allowed to eat anything after Netila to Birkas HaMazon. So the maskon of our Gemara is that the Siyum Suda depends upon Mayim Achronim and only on Mayim Achronim. It doesn't depend upon what we call Gemara Suda, Siluk HaShulchan, Hesek Hadas, Meshichas Yadayim B'Shemen. As long as he hasn't washed his hands with Mayim Achronim, he's allowed to continue eating. But once he does the Netilas Yadayim, that's it. Then the Suda is over and he's not allowed to eat. He's got a bench. And Mirz Hashem, in the next year, if we do have time, we'll add a little bit of spice, so to speak, to this halach of Netilas Yadayim and what we call Mayim Achronim. In any event, the Gemara adds to this halacha, this list of three tkifos that Rav formulated, Omar Abaye, Anu Afnoa, will add another thing, and that is, Tekef L'Talmid, L'Talmidi Chachamim Bracha. What does that mean? Tekef l'talmidi chachamim bracha. If a person is close to a talmid chacham and he invites, for example, a talmid chacham to his house, he will immediately have a bracha, and he proves it. Shenemar, because in the words of Lavan to Yaakov, after Yaakov is mevakesh lachzor liartzo, he wants to go back to his home, is at that point. The pasuk says, I'll read the whole pasuk, Nichashti vayvarcheni Hashem biglalecha, which means Nichashti, Lavan was a menachesh, he knew through Nichushim and all his different sorcery that the bracha came in Yoschus. Ibai Seim Mihacha, another possibility is from a different source, and that is Shenemar, it says in Breishis Lamites, vayvarch Hashem is beis amitzri biglal Yosef, which means that Fotifa was zochet to a bracha because he hosted Yosef in his house. So we see this, that Tekef, immediately after you makariv a Talmud Chacham, you ma'arech him, you invite him to your meal, to your suda, that you get the bracha. So what we're leaving now is the concept of Tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha, and the various dimensions here. Perhaps we'll get to look at some of the dimensions in the poskim with regard to Netilas Yadayim Bracha. And then in Mirtz Hashem, in the next year, we'll begin the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Let's just point out about Smichus between Shechita and Smicha. The Torah commands the Bala Karbon to do Smicha and lean with two yadayim before the shechita b'chol kocho on the head of the animal, and then recite vidui. And in the case of Karban Shlomim, to recite Divrei Shevach. And the mitzvah of smicha appears in many places in the Torah. For example, in the parasha of Olah, at the beginning of Vayikra v'samach yadol rosh Allah. In Shlomim, it appears in Perek Gimel in Vayikra v'samach yadol rosh Karbano in Chatos. In the fourth Perek v'samach yadol rosh Achatos, the din smicha applies in Karbanos Behema, which are brought by a yachid. For example, a Karban Chatos, Karban Oshem, Karban Toda, with the exception of Korban Bechor, Korban Meiser, and Korban Pesach, they don't have a din of smicha, even though they're Korbanos Yechidim. And the mitzvah of smicha also applies to the Soyer Mishtalech and the Parhelim Dovar, even though they're Korbanos Tzibur. Those are two exceptions. But there's no din of smicha on Ophos, only on Behemos. And the Chovah to be Somach Yado Arosh HaKorban is not a mitzvah gemura. It's not critical in the Korban. The Chachamim call it in many places in Masechta Zvachim, Shiyari Mitzvah. The Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos that Tekev means without any Shehiyah, without any Hefzik, with Pula Acheres, between the Smicha and the Shechita. And the Chaya Adam writes that according to the Rambam, the Isur Shehiyah or Hefzik with Pula Acheres is only an Isur Drabbonim in a Torah. All we require is that the Shechita be in the Azara, in a Makom that's royal Shechita. And even though the smicha was not tekev on a Doraisa level, since he did the smicha in the Azara, and then it's royal shechita, it's as if he shechted the animal, so to speak, immediately after the smicha, that's on a Doraisa level. However, others say that the din of a samach l'shechita, l'smicha shechita is a Doraisa. Now, with regard to Mitzora, there are many different dinim about how to be Mekayim Smicha, because he cannot go into the Machna Leviya, or maybe he could only go into the Machna Leviya, he can't go into the Machna Shechina, and that's the Sharan Nikonar, and that's the dinim Mechuser Kapar, that the Smicha is done in the Sharan Nikonar, and it's considered Tekef L'Smicha Shechita, even though the Shechita now might be taking place in the Azara, and the Smicha took place outside the Azara, but nevertheless, it's within a shear of Halicha, of Chapez Amos. It's not considered, you know, maybe it would be considered Tekef, not considered Ksef. I mean, for this you have to learn Masechta Sota and the Sugi of Shara Nikonar in Sota Daf Lamentes with Tosis there, Ayin Sham. Now, in terms of Smichas Gula Tefillah, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yilaratzen Refi Vegan Libi Lefanecha Hashem Tzuri V'Gali, and right after it says, Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara. And Yushalmi derives Smichas Gula Tefillah from those two psukim that are contiguous one to the other. And the Torah explains at the end of the Pasuk says, V'Gali, and that's connected the Brach of Gal Yisrael. And then the next Pasuk says, Yanshcha Hashem, which is connected Tefillah, that God will hearken to our prayers. And that teaches us Smichas Gula Tefillah. The Marshal, however, says that the Limud is not from the Smichas of those two Psukim, but rather it says, Yilaratz and Refi, She Ya'aneni Tefillah. And that Pasuk continues V'Gali, which is Inyan Geula. In any event, the Halacha is that we need Smichas Gula Tefillah. We miskarev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu first by Bimiratzehu with Divrei Shvachos of Yetzias Mitzrayim, etc. And when he's close to us, now it's the right moment to be Tovei Tzrochim, and we could say that Gula is a matir for Tefillah, for Bakasha and Tefillah. And if he's not Somik Gula Tefillah, then it's very strange. Rashi says, based on the Yerushalmi, at the beginning of this Masechta on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, that it's like a Ovo Shomelach who comes, he knocks on the door, the king opens the door, and in the meantime, the Ovo flew the coop. So we're with Gula, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there after this, the Tashbachos, and where are we? Are we ready for Tefillah? You know, we're knocking on his door. And this halach applies to Shachris, this machlokes Samaron back on Daf Dalet, whether we need Smichas Gula Tefillah in Arvis as well. Now again, we are mafsik a little bit between Gula Tefillah. We say Hashem Sosai Tiftach, but the Gemara tells us that that's considered part of Tefillah itself. That's why my Rebbe was makdid that the Shatz should recite Hashem Sosai Tiftach out loud, because that's part of Tefillah, and Tefillah Satzibra always requires Kol Ram. As far as Hashkivedu is concerned, the Gemara back on Daf Dalet says that that's called Geula Richta, and therefore it's not a hefsek between Gal Yisrael. Even if I hold like of Yochanan, that you have to be Somek Geula Tefillah in Arvis as well. So that's where we're going to stop for today. Mirtz Hashem, we'll be able to do the end of Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis with the Mishnah, and then the next year I'll be Bli Neder on Mem Beis Amud Beis.